Have you ever seen the words, "No fear," that has been emblazoned in bold letters on the rear windows of cars and pickup trucks, t-shirts, and just about anything that you could think of? It was extremely popular about 10 years ago. It was one of those things that people just put on everything. It was all over the place. Perhaps you've wondered what they mean, or perhaps you know the words advertise a popular brand of clothing that is designed for the use in sporting events like bicycle racing, surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding, and others. You see, the words have become a part of popular culture. They've been adapted and even parried for the instance of one group that took off on this "no fear." They put a little thing out called "Ain't Scared." So "ain't scared" is the same thing as not being "no fear." What place does fear have in your life? Are you afraid of something now? You know, in this world we live in, fear keeps us from doing many things, and rightly so in some cases. You see, our sense of fear is a part of our warning system that keeps us from getting into harm's way unnecessarily. Now, some of our senses are better than others. Some of our times of doing something is a little bit better than others. But once in a while, we just jump right into the middle of it. But fear can bring us to recognize our vulnerability in a given situation and lead us to take precautions. We do need to take precautions. Fear, however, can also keep us from responding courageously and boldly. Rather than being a signal to warn us of danger, fear can become our commander, our boss. It can frighten us. I know people that live in fear all the time. People that can't leave their homes. People that are frightened. People that won't go and do something because they're afraid of what might happen. You see, Paul advised Timothy today in our scripture in verse 7. He says, "God did not give us a spirit of cowardice." You see, the word that is translated cowardice implies fear. This verse reminds us that sometimes we must disregard our fears and recognize that it is right and good for us to be right in the middle of harm's way in order to be faithful to our Lord. Well, I'm sure he's not talking about that we need to go stand in the middle of a gun battle or anything like that, but he asks us to get into things. Sometimes we have to step into situations and hopefully be a voice of reason. Sometimes we have to put our faith to the test. Sometimes we have to be the one that steps in and tell someone about God's love. As we read through the gospel lessons, you will see one of the most frequent commands of Jesus is this, when he tells us, "Do not be afraid." All throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we hear those. It is used numerous times. Do not be afraid. Easy to say, but hard to do. Yes, but notice what God gives us instead of fear. Continuing on in the last part of verse 7, it says, "I give you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." In other words, don't be afraid. Don't be a coward. Don't have the fear of the world, but have the faith and the power and the spirit that is given to you. You see, that's not a bad trade. God gives us power. God gives us love and self-discipline instead of fear. We don't need to be timid. We need to step out in faith. You see, power means basically the ability to do a task. With the power that God gives, we can face and deal with what we must. Further, love casts out fear. Even in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says that love casts out fear. To know that we are loved even as we face difficult circumstances in this world. Even when we face those things, that reassures us that we have got love behind us. We have got self-discipline. We've got God on our side. You see, self-discipline can be translated here as self-control or sound judgment. The word implies the capacity for holding oneself together while things all around are threatening to come apart. That's someone that can be calm in the midst of a storm. Do you remember Jesus falling asleep in the boat when the storm was raging all around him? So many times he tells us to be calm in the eye of the storm. I heard different people a few weeks back, probably about a month ago, I went with the senior citizens on a trip, and we were talking about various things about the storms because it was kind of the anniversary of all these storms that had been coming through, and everybody said, oh, I remember where I was. And then I heard them talking over there, where were you in the midst of the storm? I heard people talking about, they went back to Hazel. That was before I was born, but I heard them talking about the fear. Different ones remember, but we talked about Fran and where we were and whatever happened. And I listened to some of those people talk about how afraid they were, but then I also heard several people say, well, it sure didn't bother my husband or my wife. They slept right through it. Everything was falling down around us, trees falling, the roof coming off, they were asleep. So that is someone that can fall asleep in the midst of the storm because you have faith and you have no fear that God is going to take care of you no matter what. We have to hold ourselves together. You see, Paul reminded Timothy today that such a spirit was God's gift. It's God's gift to you. A self-help program won't bring such a spirit into our lives. Nevertheless, the passage around 2 Timothy 1:8 points us to some ways by which we can open ourselves up to receiving and using that gift. Paul called Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. You see, there's a gift of God in every one of us, and we have to rekindle it. We have to find it. We have to let it take shape. We have to let it be a spark. Imagine how foolish it would be to endure a cold winter day in an unheated house when all one had to do to get warm was to go and turn up the thermostat. You see, we evidently, in this world that we live in, have something to do with whether we receive, whether we open, and whether we use God's gift. We should just do it. There's another slogan out there that we've had for years. It's called, just do it. Just do it. That's what it says. But it puts it back on us that we receive, we open, and we use God's gift. But we have to do it ourselves. To help Timothy rekindle that gift, Paul recalled the family background of faith which Timothy had come. He says, in your life, Timothy, you have had these wonderful people. The implication is that Timothy could shore up in his own faith and courage by recalling the saints who had gone on before him in his family. Paul recalled to him and let him remember and be reminded of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, plus remembering that the hand of the great apostle Paul was also on his life. When you face fearful circumstances and challenges to your commitment, recall those who have influenced you in the faith. Think about the people of old who have gone before, whether it be someone in your family, someone in your community, someone in your church that has been that example of faith for you. Their faithfulness is overcoming challenges, and it can remind you that it can be done. When we receive God's gift of no fear, we too can confess with the psalmist. In Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let us find our place in this world. Let us find our place in God's plan. And let us have no fear. Let us pray.